a very good evening to you out there, and thanks for tuning in this Bank Holiday Monday evening here on Terrace Talk, Radio Kerry Sports. Thanks for the big handover, Niamh Daly there on her way out. And we have Insight tonight. We have Keane taking over the desk, and Ivan, of course, is up the country in Longford, and we'll get in contact with him fairly soon. Now, in the first hour this evening, is a comprehensive look back, of course, at yesterday's Munster Senior Football Final, which saw Kerry collect their 11th title in 12 years, and I think this is their 85th in all. And we'll keep an eye, of course, on Kerry FC's game throughout the evening as well. Second hour, we'll chat about the Joe McDonagh Cup. Kerry, of course, defeated by Laois at the weekend, but still in the hunt for a place in the final. And later, we are joined and rejoined, I suppose, by the three CBS future leaders to check in with them in the aftermath of their Super Nines, which took place last Thursday. And of course, they're going to bring along the St. Brendan's boys as well, of course, because they went off and won. Now give us a call, 066-712-3666, or text us an 083-300-3300 on WhatsApp as well. And of course, we'll do our very best to give you a shout out. Plenty of comments in this evening, particularly after the trip to Ennis. Before we get going with Liam and John, let's head up to Longford and we'll check in with Ivan Hurley.
Hi, Donal. Yeah, you're welcome back here to Bishop's Gate in County Longford, and the second half just about to get underway, but two more Kerry substitutions coming on, so that's four in total in 45 minutes for Kerry. Valeri Doya on to make his Kerry FC first team debut, played for the under-20s last weekend for Kerry, but this is his first team debut, of course, formerly of a parish near here in Athlone Town, signed for Kerry FC in the winter transfer window, so looking forward to seeing what Valeri can do in this 45 minutes. And Sean O'Connell is also in. He replaced Jack Kavanagh, who also signed for Kerry FC from Athlone Town during the winter window as well. So disappointing start, Donal. If people are just tuning in and catching up on the goings on, it's 2-0 to Longford Town as the second half is underway. It was two defensive mix-ups at the back for Kerry FC to allow Longford to score two goals from set pieces, two corners. Francis Campbell scored the first with Luke Wade Slater with the second. So Kerry for the second half lining up with Antonio Tuten goal. It's Kevin Williams at right back with Samuel Alexanoussi and Ethan Goss in the middle. Sean O'Connell now in on the left for Jack Kavanagh. In the middle, then you've got Darren McCarthy, Sean McGrath, and of course you have Evison Romani making his first start for Kerry FC this evening after his making his debut on Friday. With Valeri Doya on the left, it's Ryan Keller down the middle, and Daniel Akute is on the right. So no action so far, really, only an offside there for Longford Town, so Kerry have a free out. It's been all Kerry in the opening minute of the second half, but absolutely no chance on Jack Bray's goal, so hopefully Kerry will make the Longford keeper work a bit more here in this second half, or we'll all be going back down the road a small bit disappointed. But at the moment, Donal, after 46 minutes, it's Longford Town 2 Kerry FC 0. Back to you, Donal.
No problem, Ivan. Plenty of time to turn that around. Two goals down at half time, maybe we'll get back on that. Boys, you're very welcome. Liam Brosnan's Sporting at 10, and John Kennedy direct after the journey up to Ennis yesterday. I don't know where to start with it. I mean, we are Munster champions, I mean, but people aren't exactly jumping around the place and celebrating the whole lot. I'll give you what it says in a couple of the papers, I suppose, this morning. Maybe we'll set the tone with that. Owen Cormack on the Irish Examiner, he writes, underwhelming Kerry beat Clare to win Munster title. They prevailed as they expected. They wore the look of men not overly satisfied by how they prevailed. The Munster final, where they didn't saunter or produce any sword. Kerry measure Munster finals differently to everyone else. That's what happens when you win 11 of the last 12. It's not a case of winning them, it's the state and comfort and control in reaching the finish line. And Paul Brennan, writing for the independent.ie, he wrote, and this one probably gets to the heart of the matter, they won them easier and they've won them harder, and this latest win for Kerry falls down the trickier half of the now 85 Munster finals they've won. In the end, Kerry had 7 points to spare, just enough breathing space for the champions retaining their title, but Clare kept them honest and worked them hard to the end of a contest that was worthy of the occasion. Before we get going, John Kennedy, the occasion itself, a lot of people saying, you know, why was it in Clare, not people saying, you know, why wasn't it in Clarny, and do you know, why did you have to toss the kind, the whole lot. In many ways, it was very lucky the coin was tossed in Clare's favour, because there was a sense of a Munster final occasion to it. The day was fine, there was 12,000 people, and it kind of goes to show you that if you do give a team that is Division 3 or 4 a chance to have a home venue, they will pack it out, they will bring an atmosphere. And even when the Tulla Bend were going around at the start of it, it did feel a little bit Croke Park-esque. People got up, there was great claps, there was great roars, and there was a great sense of occasion.
Yeah, there was. Look, Cusick Park, I've been there many times in county championships and in league and championship for at county level, but a great atmosphere there. It's a tight ground, you know, very compact, and you know, the terraces and the uncovered stand, they were full yesterday. There was a genuinely, you know, I suppose people, a lot of the Clare people went to see Kerry, you know, but they went to support their own team, who've done exceptionally well. 9 or 10 players missing from last year. Colm Collins departed the scene, having left a huge imprint in Clare football and brought him to another level. Mark Fitzgerald came in when many people wouldn't take the job, and to be fair to them, he's done exceptionally well, and he can be very proud of the performance. And I know that talking to Clare fellas after, like, you know, moral victories are they're not, there's nothing on the roll of honour for them, but they competed, they contested, they asked questions of us. We were always going to win the game, I'd say, but you know, they had some great performances. They had a structure about them, you know, defensively they were hard to break down. They marked out Keeman very well. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a big bearing around the middle, two good players in Bohannon and McNamara. We know McNamara from the under-20s last year, you know, and I suppose they had one of the players of the day in Dermot Coughlin.
Absolutely outstanding.
You know, the Kilmurray Brickin man, he was absolutely outstanding.
He was everywhere. He broke tackles. Yeah, he was the right turn in the side.
He was brilliant. He's a connection, of course, to Enda Coughlin, who did exceptionally well with Clare and Kilmurray for years. And if I may, Donal, as I'm on it, Kilmurray Brickin, a good friend of mine, Patrick Murray, big Kerry connections, actually, to Tommy Doyle, they're related to him, Michael Considine. His father, John Joe, celebrated his 100th birthday on Friday.
Wow.
What an achievement. Great footballing family. I won't say how many connections they have. They're all connected up in Kilmurray Brickin, and they're hugely proud of their countrymen, and they always support Clare exceptionally well. And, you know, Dermot carried on that tradition. But look, we'll say a shout out to John Joe Murray, and, you know, hail and hearty to 100.
My God. He's seen a lot of moral victories, has he?
He probably has.
At 85, or at 100. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And I suppose, in fairness, that's not lost on us in Kerry as well, because when you do play particular counties and people say, oh, they're no good, we know that there is particularly strong holds of football in counties, and Clare have always had a strong hold of football.
Well, they have, and like in the club scene, I was up there for a few years, and I know the standard is exceptionally high. The teams are come out and go into the Munster club, they acquit themselves well. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's Joan Big or Milltown or Kilmurray Brickin, Cora Clare, whoever it is, it doesn't matter. They've done exceptionally well, Aroge. But what I liked about Clare yesterday was, you know, they didn't throw in the towel. They kept battling away, they kept asking questions. Mark Fitzgerald wasn't afraid to use his bench, brought on guys, you know.
He took off the likes of Coughlin.
He did, yeah. You know, but from a Kerry point of view, Donal, we are not firing on all cylinders. We are winning the games. We're going into, I think, the downside for us, Liam. I think we're going in now to a group, Louth, Meath and Monaghan. What are we going to learn, in all fairness?
Yeah. Well, I suppose, Liam, it's not about the learning at the moment. I mean, it's getting by them, moving on. I mean, look, getting to the quarterfinal and winning the group, it's the most important thing at the moment for Kerry. But just going back to yesterday, I mean, we scored 23 points.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of possession. I mean, we must have twice the amount of possession. But we just didn't have the killer instinct, maybe. I mean, particularly the amount of goals that we kind of butchered along the way. And we saw Clare quite willingly hitting down the middle path that everybody seems to be talking about lately.
Exactly, yeah, that we've talked about all year. Yeah, look, it's hard to get the handle to where we are at the moment, you know. And
but is that a good thing in a sense? I mean, other teams will write us off now at this stage.
Well, they will, Donald, but the only thing about it, and we've watched them through the league, and we've watched, and we haven't seen any kind of gradual improvement, you know. I know, I think the only thing that...
We won 5 out of 7 games in the league. Derry only barely beat us by a point. Dublin destroyed us, fair enough. The teams
that we're going to be competing to win Sam Maguire. You know, we can talk about the Clares and the
but
and
is
all
this
these.
Kind of like faraway fields are green? You know, let's just do our own business, win game by game, and we'll worry about the Derrys when we meet them in Croke Park.
Well,
in
that's what we're all hoping for, that we're aiming to peak when we get to Croke Park, and that's the dream, you know, that we're all holding on to at the moment. But like, it's very hard to see, because I'm just looking at structures, I'm just looking at formations, and you know, and the one thing that every team we play against has a defensive structure. We have no defensive structure at the moment.
Well, no? I presume, like, if every team had a David Clifford, you'd have a defensive structure and maybe three or four of them as well.
The year we won the All Ireland, we had a defensive structure. We had our midfielder was sitting, David Moran was sitting in front of Tadhg Morley was sitting in front of Jason Foley. Yesterday, there was no one down the middle. Mm-hmm. No, at one stage, we had Jason Foley playing full forward. No, that's not... I look, that's grand at times. You'll get into positions like that. But, like, when you're under pressure, when teams... And Clare put us under pressure in the first half. I think they scored 7 out of 8 scoring chances. Mm-hmm. They had goal opportunities.
8 scores, actually. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Everything was dramatic.
And they had goal opportunities. But, like, if you're managing Jason Foley, you're going to be telling him, stay at home. You don't need Jason Foley up beside David Clifford. You know, so there's something not clicking there at the moment. We were running, there were so many of us inside our own half yesterday, we were running into each other. You know, so
it was a very busy half.
It was. And when we attacked at speed, we caused trouble. It's only when Clare got numbers back, we just seemed to really struggle to break them down. You know, and we have the best footballer in the country inside in the full forward line. You know, and it was when he came out around the 40, we got openings inside. I think in the first half there was we went 3 points up all of a sudden, but David was out around the 45. Now maybe we got to kind of look at that as well. Like, I remember Dublin a couple of years ago, I was doing umpire above McHale Park against Mayo, and Dublin put their half hour line in the full forward line. They put their kickers outside because Mayo put up because actually it was Tyrone the week before that had this big defensive structure against them, and they struggled. But like, I don't see anything like that from Kerry at the moment. When teams put up, and we're going to see it, Monaghan are going to do it, the weaker the likes of Dublin will go at us, no? But the likes of Monaghan, Louth, we're going to see this again in the next 3 games. So I'd be hoping that we can see some sort of, that we can break down these kind of things, because it's at the moment, I thought we found it very hard to break down Clare yesterday in the first half when they were, and I think the Division 3 and the Division 1, then their legs, I was always kind of saying their legs were kind of going to go a small bit, and you could see they were fading. But you know, there was a lot of things. I know you can look at it half glass half full, half glass or glass half empty, but at the moment I'm just kind of scratching my head and just hoping that we're going to peak when we get to Croke Park, because at the moment I'm not overly impressed with with our defensive structure and our forward movement at the moment.
My God almighty, John Kidd, did he buy a couple of years and be beaten Dublin or something? That he's all mad about Dublin. Let's go back to the game. John Kane, to be fair, like, we were meeting a Clare team that scored 122 and 119 coming in. I know people will say it's against Water, and then people will say it's against Limerick and the whole lot. But the reality is it's the Munster Championship. They could score. And they showed yesterday that they had plenty of forwards, and they have two fantastic midfielders.
Yeah, they have. Like, as we said, midfield, the way Clare played, they weren't afraid to kick the ball out into the middle of the field, because they have confidence in the two boys there.
It was a real throwback to the old days, wasn't it? It was just put it down. But was there an element of Kerry had squeezed up on them so much that there was no kind of short out, but down the middle they went anyway, and Clare kind of took the attitude, we'll see where it goes, up in the air, and they kind of won more than half the battles that they needed to win.
They did. I say early on, the Kerry put down a marker, Ronan Lanigan, the cornerback, got a ball. Mm-hmm. And he actually couldn't go forward. He had to come back towards his own goals, lucky to get away with it.
Yep.
Kerry squeezed up, and I think, you know, Mark Fitzgerald and the lads on the line saw that they weren't going to put themselves under pressure with short kicks, because Kerry were squeezing.
So you're lose it percentage wise in the middle rather than being turned over as a corner back.
Definite. But I think around the middle of the field, look, they'd be happier with their midfield performance than we were yesterday. Again, you know, overall you'd be disappointed with the two corners. You know, I think that we need to start putting down a marker, and again, we'll have to say this, and Liam, myself, are speaking off air and speaking to supporters last night. Where are we at, the Kerry team? You know, are we waiting to peak when we get to Croke Park in the quarter final? If we are, that's fair enough. But if we're not, we're in serious trouble, because, you know, you just take Dublin, take the top teams. When they get a chance against the weaker link, they'll punish.
Mm-hmm. This time last year, you sat here and both of you wrote Dublin off. He said they had no form. They were in Leinster. They were only
Division 2.
All of a sudden, Kerry have that kind of form. We're kind of wondering where Kerry are. I mean, is it something that, you know, teams look at each other and say, listen, Dublin peaked when they came to semi-final last year. Maybe Kerry, maybe handing up with the group we have, we don't have to kind of put ourselves fourth gear yet. And everybody, I suppose, in the whole county, Liam, is hoping that that's the plan.
That's the way, that is the plan, yeah. Hopefully.
But what you're saying is, if that's not the plan...
We are, yeah. Like, you can imagine the gaps that were there yesterday. If that was a Donegal or an Armagh or a Derry or a Dublin, no, we'd be in serious trouble. Like, Clare created 5 goal chances yesterday, and I know they scored one, but... You know, the top tier teams will punish you in that, and that's something that we're seeing throughout the year. This is not something that happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. No, we're seeing these gaps. Where's
the structure breaking down? So, I mean, like, you mentioned David Moran earlier in the conversation. I mean, obviously David Moran was kind of a very defensive midfielder who was able to cover ground, catch ball, the whole lot. Jack Barry, you know, this time last year people were saying, you know, Jack Barry isn't our answer. Jack Barry isn't our answer. Since Jack Barry has dropped away, there seems to be more of a little gap in the door going through from centre back.
There is, and you know, yesterday at one stage, and even the boys mentioned in the commentary that there was no player inside our 65-yard line, that was including our goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. So if you're a defender and you're up in the forwards, you know, you're switched off from the job you're supposed to be doing. And when Clare turned us over, then we're in trouble, and teams will turn us over, and then you're backpedalling straight away. Whereas with the last years that we've won our Ireland's, we had people that mind the house.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, the forwards are to do their job, their midfield do their job, but we need a
talking about the Mike McCarty's,
you're talking about Seamus Moynihan, Aidan O'Mahony, yeah. Like, you would very, and Aidan did go up and kick points, but very rarely would Aidan, if he was told hole number 6 or hole number 5, wherever, he was staying there. So no, yesterday, like I said, Jason Foley was inside the full forward line, Tom Sullivan was up there, no, they were all up there.
Mm-hmm. But has the game changed? I mean, at this stage you kind of follow your man. I mean, we'd say for the clear goal that they didn't get, we'll say just after the ball was thrown in, they got the break, the whole lot. Both our wing backs and centre backs, they were just hauled off to the side and they followed their men, and all of a sudden they're right in front of the goal.
But like, guess getting back to my point of the 5 teams that I mentioned, we cannot follow Donegal down the field. Mm-hmm. Or Armandy, because if you follow them, they break at pace. We see what they do. We got to hold the line somewhere, you know, and it's not holding it on the midfield with our goalkeeper. We got to have some sort of structure, and it's something that we haven't seen all year, really.
No. And you know, something that's disappointing as well is that, like, you know, we've very few young fellas coming into the squad. Mm-hmm. And speaking to supporters yesterday and last night, this is not a criticism. I don't think they're out there. The quality of being honest with you, because like, in fairness to Jack and the management team, they've given every fella a fair cut. Can we say no, this guy should be in there? We can't. But you look at Clare, they've brought in 9 new fellas. There was an exuberance about them yesterday. There was no fear factor.
When we were chatting to Clare people yesterday, about that argument in particular, people were saying, oh, you know, we were down 11 players from last year. Those 11 players played last year and got turned over by Kerry at their ease. I mean, there seemed to be youth coming in where Clare young fellas really rolled up the sleeves yesterday, where Kerry kind of looked a little bit, you know, this is our 8th Munster final, it's our 9th Munster final, it's our 10th Munster final, we've been here before. You know, I'm not diminishing the fact that they got a medal and it was their 9th one or 10th one. It's kind of hard to have the same celebrations after your 8th one and your 9th one, particularly when your focus is on an All-Ireland at the end of the year, not necessarily on a Munster championship.
And to be fair, like, to win an All-Ireland, you're not going to, like, we're looking at two different avenues here for Clare. Like, Clare yesterday were in a hiding to nothing, really.
That was Clare's All-Ireland yesterday.
That was their All-Ireland yesterday.
They were playing at home, they had 12,000 people. They, you know, I mean, the day was fine, it was a great atmosphere, the whole lot. And they
had a free shot at us.
And they had Kerry men on their sideline that knew Kerry players inside out.
No, so no matter what Clare did yesterday, they were on a winner anyway, and they put up a fantastic performance. Whereas if we brought in, say, 9 new players, that you're not going to win All-Ireland finals with inexperienced players. You know, so you can see that there's two different avenues there. But definitely, I do think our bench is stronger than last year, though. Because when you're bringing on the likes of Stephen O'Brien and Paul Gainey, you know, Killian Spillane, Mike Pree, and you have Graham to come back into it as well, who I think was a loss yesterday.
Graham was a loss.
He's probably one of our better players all year. You know, so.
And Tony Rosson was impressive yesterday.
Tony was impressive. Our goalkeeper Shane was impressive. Yeah. You know, Brino Bigley had a good game yesterday. So there is green shoots there. But the only thing that I just want to see a structure. I want to see, you know, that, yeah, we can set up.
Redoubting Thomas, aren't you?
It was good, Liam. It was good to see Tony having a shot yesterday.
Because we
saw Tony before and he was looking to give it off. But yeah. I like to see a guy taking the responsibility, you know. But like you said there, Shawnee Shea and David Clifford, two of the best footballers in the country. We need to get them on the ball.
On the ball, in scoring positions. Correct. And I think when you bring David out, like if you have a good under 12 footballer or under 13, whether they're by your girl, and you can't get the ball into her or him, you bring him out.
Bring him out.
You bring him out. And it's the same with David. David draws so much attention now that you need to kind of bring him out. And what he do, he brings the attention with him and he creates space inside in for other players. But to be fair, Shawnee Shea is motoring very well at the moment.
And that's a big plus from last year, because Shawnee, by his own standards, you know, he dropped back a bit last year, but he's really back up there now. He's confidence. He's oozing with confidence. Yeah. You know, every time he gets it, you're looking for the score now. And that's what we expect from Shawnee, but it's great to see. Fantastic performance yesterday, 9 points, impeccable kicking.
Would he play midfield?
Maybe he would.
just a question. If you want a bit of an engine inside there to get the ball, I mean, he's still going to take the freeze for you, and he's travelling over and back, and he can play a ball inside the whole lot. Himself and Graham's holding midfield. Yeah. Come here to me. Loads of comments come in, and we will fly through them, but we'll take a quick commercial break and we will head to Longford after this.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
And you're very welcome back to Radio Kerry Terrace Talk with Donald Barry, and we're here till 8 o'clock this evening. Let's go straight back up the road to Longford and see, has Ivan Hurley got more good news for us?
Hi Donald, unfortunately not, unless you want a bit of a weather update or something like that, but it remains Longford Town 2, Kerry FC nil, and to be completely honest, despite the numerous changes Kerry have made, there's absolutely no spark in this one, really. Even I could even say for the whole second half, I mean, to be completely honest, there's 67 minutes on the clock. Kerry's only chance have come from probably shots from range. Everson Romani is the only make it as far as the goalkeeper, as Longford just in there at the Emma, but that's well cut out by Ethan Coss. But Everson Romani's shot from just outside the D was probably the only one that got anywhere near Jack Brady's goal, but it did go over the crossbar. So yeah, a bit of a frustrating second half. Stephen Healy has come on for his other Galway teammate in Darren McCarthy, the two men on loan with Kerry FC swapping about 10 minutes ago, was Stephen yet to make any sort of an impact in the middle. The only positive I would say from a Kerry point of view is that Valeri Doyle does look sharp down this left wing right in front of the press box here. He's getting on the ball a good bit. He's won about three free kicks for Kerry as well, so he's causing some bit of a nuisance of himself, but unfortunately no balls getting in around the Kerry forwards at this stage, Donald. So with 68 just over 68 minutes gone now on the clock, still tight. Like, if Kerry could get one back, you'd imagine there'd be a peep of pressure from Kerry. There could be a result salvage in this one, but just does not look like coming at the moment. But maybe one goal might spark this one back into life. But at the moment, the 3 points heading for the home side, and Kerry on the road home with nothing at the moment. But 69 now gone, Donald. It's Longford Town 2, Kerry FC 0, Donald. Back to you.
Thanks very much, Ivan. 2-0 remains. Now let's go fly through our comments. Caller on the phone this evening with Keane. Kerry, they're two open up the middle, allowing for teams like Clare to apply pressure, create goal scoring chances, and this has been a problem for Kerry recently. It needs to be rectified. Hi Donald, Kerry will have to improve a lot defensively if they are to have a chance against the top teams. That's Charles. Good evening to you, Charles. I like this one. Hi lads, congratulations to Kerry on the victory against Dublin. We should focus on the achievement of the win aside from the negatives. There you go, back into your box, the two of you. A message: a few Kerry players were wearing white socks yesterday. Yeah, I noticed that actually. I can't understand why of the Kerry County Board is letting this happen. This wouldn't be allowed at club level, not to mind county teams. I'd like to get the panel's views on this. Skinny Gorilla. White socks, green and gold socks.
Yeah, you can see them
everywhere.
Everyone's wearing kind of a different green and gold sock as well. Yeah. I always thought Crow Park would fine a team if they didn't have the same.
I spoke to a player about this because this was asked a couple of times, and sometimes it's the sock that fits the boot, that fits the foot basically, that they're always wearing, that can they kick with and solar, whatever, whereas they wear a different sock on the day, it's not as comfortable. year ago. That was just a player's view, obviously.
Good theory.
Yeah. It's good theory. But yeah, absolutely. It's the uniform, of course, and it's the socks. A few Kerry players, and we said that one we're wearing. Huge congratulations to Kerry ladies on their victory against Waterford at the weekend too. Yeah, absolutely, won't forget them either. That was round 3. Fianna Tagney, of course, scoring the winning point there. Great to see her back. And of course, Cork doing their bit on the other side, beating Tipperary. So that sets up an exciting Munster final. Big congratulations to Kerry lads. Another Munster title in the bag. Well done to Kerry as well. Munster champions once again. Well done to the Kingdom. But a lot done, an awful lot to do. It wasn't the most riveting of games for Jack O'Connor's side, especially in the first half. He will have to ponder on a few issues. Few expected Clare to give Kerry such a quite a run. They did, and they should have had a second goal on the scoreboard. Yeah, Clare did have the better goal chances, Liam. A word for our goalkeeper.
Yeah, I thought Shane, and you know what I like about Shane Murphy yesterday was that, and I've said it a few times here, that you know, we need to get the ball on the tee fast. Mm-hmm. He was actually running out and telling the Kerry players get out in front of him, the way he could get the ball down and out. He had two great saves. I thought it was a very good performance by him, you know. So I suppose it was a big surprise when we heard there was a change there, weren't there, during the week. But he did nothing wrong for me yesterday.
He's an accomplished keeper, to be fair. I mean, he hasn't played in goal since 2018 in the Championship. He's played the odd couple of games probably in the league here and there. But he's an accomplished club goalie. I mean, like,
his
county championship standard, we, a couple of years ago, he was the guy that was the Cluxton of the club level. He was getting the balls out faster than anybody else, and we were all singing and praising. Funny enough, 2018, the last time he played was what game? There we go, now, lads.
2018.
Yeah. Can you remember? No. Jeez, lads, we'll have to replace you. 2018, first round against Galway above in Croke Park. Lost that day in an awful. Replaced by who in the next two games? God, you're really going to turn your car now. It's not even the Christmas quiz. Brian Kelly of Legion came in and replaced him as well. All good keepers, to be fair. Kerry, with these kind of performances, are no threat to the Dubs. There we go, says Liam Broston. There, he must have sent that one.
It takes two there under the table.
Well done to Kerry. Up Kerry, another win. Congratulations. Defensively, as we were very poor, any of the better footballing counties will expose that. A win is a win while not firing on all cylinders. The defence does need a little bit of help. The lack of goals, however, I feel is a bigger issue. John Kennedy, we haven't scored a goal in 7 games.
And we're not creating them either. We created one yesterday. Joe Connor was unlucky. He probably got too close to the goal.
Barry Dan as well.
And Barry Dan as well. You know, half a chance really. But we're not creating them.
Going back on that point, the two men that you mentioned that got the goal chances were both midfielders.
Midfielders.
Like, we have a full forward line that should be ticking in goals. Or then when you score 23 points, are you really looking for a goal?
Like, look, your listeners there, Donald, some of the comments that come in are very valid. Do you know, to be fair, they're like everybody that's going to a game, they're well up in the game. They can see the problems. And the problems, we won the game and we're Munster champions and great stuff, and we're heading to play Monaghan, Louth and Meath now. But you have to look at where you can improve. Our defence was open again yesterday. You'll be looking for more from the middle of the field. And I think that, you know, we need David Clifford on song. Is it that he's not getting the quality ball in? Is it that the movement inside isn't there? Or are we too slow releasing it in? They are the questions. But to play and to beat the top teams, we'll have to improve on those. And if we do, you know, we'll be there or thereabouts. But if we don't, we'll come up second best.
Mm-hmm. Liam, are we not kind of guilty of wanting our cake and eating it here? I mean, if we went out yesterday and put another 10 points on Clare, you'd be saying Clare were no good and there were a gang of youngsters and sure, there were nobody there from last year and all their best experienced players were away and it was all their first years and the whole lot. If Kerry stuck 4 goals yesterday, should we have stuck 5 goals last year? We still didn't win the All-Ireland, we still didn't beat Dublin at the end of the day. Is there a bit of we're kind of on the fence, we want everything, but, you know,
there is, and I suppose that's the thing with Kerry.
Yeah.
No, and we could easily sit around the table here tonight and just say, look, we're going to get better. We're going to get, like, we can only talk about what we see and what we have seen in the past number of weeks. And so we'd be hoping that no more than any Kerry supporter out there. And these guys, like, they're amateur footballers. Mm-hmm. So no, they don't want to be listening to John Kennedy and myself here talking of trying to tell them what will we know. But, like, it's just that we just like to see a kind of improvements. And I suppose that's the one thing in Kerry. We have a we have a different avenue. We're looking at Croke Park, we're looking at All-Irelands. Clare yesterday, moral victories and stuff like that, but there's no such thing as a moral victory in Kerry.
Absolutely. Well, I'm delighted there's no such thing as a moral victory in Kerry, because Kerry FC are, after putting in a bit of a battle, back up the road to Longford, where I think we're just after hitting a goal.
Absolutely, Donal, we are after hitting a goal. It's Ryan Keller with potentially a goal of the month, another goal of the month contender from Kerry FC. A fantastic effort. Daniel Akute on the right picked up the ball. Ryan got one bit of a touch into the air and a bicycle kick from about the penalty area for Kerry FC, and absolutely knocked it into the top corner. Nothing that Jack Brady could do inside in the Longford goal. And Kerry back in this one. It's Longford Town 2, Kerry FC 1. There's 15 minutes plus the stoppage time. We've had a couple of stoppages as well, so I'd envisage near enough, maybe 20 minutes just under it left in this one, as Kerry have a free on the edge of the box on the far side. So a corner being swung in, but only 10 yards closer to the box. So Dolan, with, as I say, 15 minutes to go plus stoppage time, Kerry back in this one. It's Longford Town 2, Kerry FC 1.
There you go, Ivan Hurley. Kerry haven't scored a goal in 7 games and Kerry FC get one there, huh? Fair play to them. And the 2-1 it is now in Longford, as Ivan says, 20 minutes left. Dolan, the best player on the pitch yesterday was Dermot Coughlin, number 11. He was on every ball. He dominated everything. I was very surprised he was taken off. Clare listener, God Almighty, John Kennedy, you have
he
all
was
the
very good.
You have all the Clare fellas listening to us now, have you?
I'd say he ran out of steam, Donald.
He ran out of steam. Yeah. Very early in the second half, because he was on an awful lot of ball in the first half.
He had an exceptional 35 minutes. To be fair, you know, he ran at Kerry. He caused us endless problems. You know, was unlucky. A great save from Shane Murphy. Great shot. He could have kicked it over the bar, but you know, he went for the goal, and it showed the ambition that Clare had. But Dermot Clark is a fantastic player, and you know, his father was a selected with me in Kilmurry Brickin, steeped in GA.
His father was 92, wasn't he?
Was, yeah. Dermot as well.
And
yeah,
the guy that came on the field, McInerney, kicked that point from a free.
Mark McInerney, was Francis' son, yeah.
Yeah, he's
from Dunbeg, yeah.
He's the famous Clare captain.
Famous Clare captain's writing.
So they would have known their heritage and history and the whole lot. So even at that level, you know, they would have been up for that game.
Oh, there's no doubt. Look, I mean, in my time in Clare, the one thing I noticed was that if you drew Kerry or Cork in the Munster Championship, you were going to have one cut at it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what they wanted. And they raised their game. And, you know, it's important for Clare now to kick on against Cork in the next
round.
That's the one. Yeah. That's the one. They haven't come to Cusick Park, and that'll be an interesting result.
Absolutely. Lads, not too convincing from Kerry, I'm afraid. I think we'll have a short somewhere. Well, I think we have a short somewhere anyway, because
it's over in a couple of months.
it's over fairly early anyway. Congrats to Kerry, but no goal. Butchered a couple of chances. Clare Division 3 team, who finished third in Division 3, they score a goal. The Kerry defence need a lot of work. Yeah, a lot of people on the backs of the poor Kerry defence this evening. And in saying that, I mean, you know, I mean, we conceded one goal. Let's look at some of the positives from yesterday. Sean O'Shea is certainly in the running for Player of the Year already, is he?
Yeah, he's playing very well. Even his league performances, you could see even at the very start of the year, he looked trimmer than us. He was faster. There was a different Sean O'Shea than what he was, like John said, 12 months ago. And he's carrying that form forward.
And fans and supporters, they want him on the ball as well. They want to see him on the ball, and he's good and he's solid.
And he creates opportunities as well. Like, if the shot isn't down, he's always going to give a good pass. And like, no more like David, he's going to draw so much attention. So that's why I'd like to see him, kind of, if teams put up walls like that, you can't have him behind the wall.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we have the caliber of player outside Bar Pardy that can pick off a pass over maybe a couple of heads into the boys. We need the boys outside, because David Shawnee will pick out a player with their passing ability inside in, and plus they draw so much attention out, it creates space inside. And that's why our midfielders were the two guys that got the opportunity for goals yesterday, because everyone's watching the boys. So it's the midfielders and the half forwards who can sneak in and get scores. You know, so yeah, Shawnee is in the form that the old Shawnee long ago, we could say.
And what I enjoyed about him yesterday was that he had one awful free kick that he kicked out. No, it was going wide, and David Clifford had to go nearly 20 feet to win it on the line,
and he won it over three players.
Absolutely, and got it back and recycled it and scored a point. So there was lots of very good positives in the game. I suppose the fact that, you know, people are picking the fact that you can score a couple of goals or whatnot. In from Chicago, up Kerry every time. You're doing a great job, lads. Kerry didn't have to exert themselves too much, to be fair. Donald, Kerry were never more than in second gear yesterday. They do not need to go into first gear until they get to the quarterfinals. And I think that's kind of the feeling that people are feeling, that, you know, we can kind of just mosey on. But what Liam is feeling, that the mistakes that we're making here won't be replicated, and
it's
and
not a flick of a switch done. Like, I don't think it's a flick of a switch anymore. Teams that have continued on good forms have went on, and we're like, I think today the flick of the switch, and we'll turn it on when we get to Croke Park, are far and between now anymore. But I'd be still hoping, you know, that maybe the big teams will draw big performances out of us, you know. But the way our defence is at the moment, the four or five teams that, are, you know, that we'd be thinking that would be knocking around for Croke Park and for Sam Maguire would trouble us.
Jeez, you're really talking yourself out of your All-Ireland ticket this year, aren't you? Can you give us a John Kennedy? Can you give us spare tickets if you're not going? Big shout-out to all to Jason Foley and Sean O'Shea, who, after the game yesterday, signed autographs for my kids. Yeah, absolutely. It was one of the things about it yesterday. It was kind of, the stewards were up and saying, listen, nobody allowed in the field, nobody allowed in the field, nobody allowed in the field. Christ, they're all inside the field now. Let him in, let them all in the field. But there is that nice aspect to it, you know, that you go in. And there was that lovely photograph John Fogarty had last night as well of David Clifford coming out of the dressing room
and the sea of Clare jerseys.
I thought they were all queuing up for Harry O'Neill, you know, maybe getting his autograph.
But it was nice too, not to see, we've been at games where David was rushed off the field.
Yeah.
You know, people yesterday, and to be fair to him, he stood, he took photographs, he signed, you know, he signed jerseys, he signed every kind of a thing, I'd say. But it was nice to see him, you know, stay on the field for that anyway.
And there was a lovely photograph taken, of course, with his son Ogie as well, enjoying. And we forget that too at other times.
They're amateur footballers.
Yeah. They have work, they have injuries, they have family, there's a lot going on in people's lives. And I suppose it's very easy to be kind of, you know, negative from this thing and saying they didn't catch this or didn't kick this the right way. There's a lot going on as well. Donald, Monaghan are coming to Killarney in 2 weeks' time. Monaghan, I think, are Liam Broston's favourite team. Did you say a couple of years ago Monaghan were always good for goals?
Good for goals, that's right. And I don't think they scored any goals that day.
But they will be looking for goals. Kerry's purple patch in the second half, where he picked up a lot of handy scores, was crucial. Tony Broston, Darren Moynan and Sean O'Shea got on a couple of frees. Yesterday, John, whenever we were in real trouble, and I don't think we were ever in real trouble, to be fair, we were able to kind of move up the gears. We got a couple of points, we kicked on another five or six ahead, then we gave up a few points and we moved on again. Is that the sign of a team that, despite what everybody's saying, they were fully in control?
We were fully in control, Donald. There's no question about it. I mean, look, and as you said, it's the sign of a team. When the question is asked, you go 3 or 4 points ahead, you know. And I suppose when Dermot Coughlin had the chance of the goal in the first half, we kicked on then. And that's the sign. But, you know, the disappointing thing is that you know, maybe some of the Kerry supporters, and maybe we're selfish in looking for that bit extra. But look, the win is the win. And maybe going in for the group stages, if you had a Derry or a Mayo in the middle of those games, it might be better for us. They should have a test.
Yeah, because like, we could end up now in a quarter final with a Derry or a Mayo or maybe even the loser of the Ulster final in a quarter final. Are we going to be tried and tested before we get to that?
And the other thing, Donald, is like, we've two provincial finals yesterday. We made the draw for the group stages during the week. Like, I mean, what are the GAA thinking about, to be fair? I've heard nobody being positive about it.
They could have made them. Well, of course, I suppose
they could have made them last night.
Could have made them last night.
Well, I suppose they probably couldn't, because
you have Leinster
and Ulster playing the following week, and then you play Monday, and then you have
Leinster. But it's kind of disrespectful to the finals, you know. Yeah.
It is a kind of funny one. A couple more coming in. Good evening there, Derek Clune. Hello, as a Clare man who always supported Kerry in football once my own county's out of the championship. I can't understand how Kerry have not been able to solve their defensive frailties. How long now is it since Owen Merchant raced down the middle in the All-Ireland final and scored a goal and no Kerry player touched him? The same thing keeps happening over and over. Yeah, history seems to be repeating itself there, Derek. Would it be possible to ask each of the panel to give their player ratings of the Kerry team? Well, there it goes. Patsy, Keane out there, you certainly turned them both upside down for that one. We'll wait till after the commercial break for that one, Pat, but we will certainly put them through that one. Donal, John Kennedy touched on a very important point there about the youth. I've always been an admirer of Stephen O'Brien, but in fairness, Killian Spillane is 10 years younger and needs game time, but was not brought on until a few minutes to go. I rest my case. That's Michael Brostonblow in Skibbereen. God, we're getting everybody outside the county tonight. Killian Spillane was player of the game in the Munster final 2 years ago when we played Limerick. Is he struggling for form, Liam?
I suppose you're
a great fan.
I am, because he's a scorer. If anyone that goes to county league matches or county championship matches, know the ability that this fella has. And you'd have David Clifford, you'd have Killian Spillane, you've Tony Ross, and these are the guys that you're watching, and they're the guys that you say, yeah, they can offer something. And I think Killian can offer something. I think the injury probably has hampered him a small bit to come back into form. Yeah. But I'd like to see more of him, because I think if we are to go on to win in Ireland, we're going to need Killian Spillane coming off the bench. Our biggest Achilles heel last year against Dublin was when Stephen O'Brien started, we had nothing to come on after. And I think we need, and I do think our bench, like I said earlier, our bench is stronger this year than what we had last year. But I would agree with Willis. I do think that we need Killian Spillane on tip top form, whether it's coming off the bench or whether it's starting. But I think he has a lot to offer.
But I think, Liam, that, you know, Jack usually picks his team from the training ground.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were all surprised when we saw some of the changes, like Shane Murphy coming in, Brian O'Begley back, Tony Starting. You know,
and Tony kicked 3 points, but obviously his kicking points are falling back.
Exactly, so that's the thing. Like, you know, it's Jack is never afraid to change, and he'll always, you know, when you hear him in an interview, it's the training ground. And I think that's a reflection. And if fellas are going well, they'll get a chance. And, you know, we don't know what's happening inside, like, but then again, you know, it'd be wrong to be negative about the older fellas, because Stephen O'Brien, Paul Gain, and these lads, they own nothing to carry, and they still have a big part to play. I think there's no question about it. Their experience is going to be crucial at the business end.
Are you going to look at the Dublin bench, to what they'll be bringing off?
Will you stop talking about Dublin? Will you put a
more? But I'm looking at the age bracket as well. Like, they're the same as Paul Gain.
You're like
something
that goes to school and looks over the ditch and says, "I'd love to be in that school. That's the school I should have been in. That school, they've got a bigger bus than us, and they've got a better football field than us. They've got great teachers. I'd love to be inside that school."
I could blame my mother and father for that.
You're in the school you're in. Glad, any news on Gavin White from yesterday? Hope he's okay. Kerry beat everybody by a lot last year and came up short. We will have to remain positive and trust Jack, and hopefully they will peak later on in the year. And that's Katrina. And I think, Katrina, do you know what, you might be a silent majority out there as well, for everyone giving out about it. I think most people are going to stay the course. Gavin White yesterday, he was signing autographs anyway after the game, so he certainly is above on that side of it, but obviously it was a serious concussion at the time, and he had to come off the field. We will take a quick break, and after the break we will catch up with Ivan Hurley above in Longford. Hopefully we'll get our second goal.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
There you go, last time we were in Longford it was 2-1, bicycle kick. Ivan Hurley, did you get a second goal for us?
No, not yet, Donald, but we just have ticked past the 19. There's only 3 minutes added on, which is actually quite surprising. I thought there'd be at least four, if not five, and there's been a couple of stoppages since that as well, so surprising that's only 3 minutes. But Kerry, all Kerry in the last couple of minutes. There was a free from Ryan Keller, who's fairly tame effort into the hands of Jack Brady, and a corner just before he came over to me from Sean O'Connell, but that one was headed clear inside. But Sean McGrath has picked up the ball. It goes to Sean O'Connell, who shoots from the edge box, but he slips. The ball is knocked up into the air. Sean O'Connell back up for it again. He wins it. Valeri Doyle is just on the left. We might stay with this passage of play, Dolan, just for a second. Valeri Doyle into Stephen Healy. Stephen Healy back out to Sean McGrath. Kerry trying to work something. Valeri Doyle down the middle, but the touch just takes away the bobbin of the ball, and that one's knocked up the pitch again by Longford Town. But Kerry going to recycle through Samuel Adzanusi. Longford ball hoofed back up into the air, and that's tried to be won by Sony there in the middle, but Longford with possession now again. And it looks like this one might peter out. Hopefully one more chance for Kerry Dolan, but at the moment Longford going to take all the 3 points. It's Longford Town 2, Kerry FC 1, with just 2 minutes left, Dolan.
Thank you there, Ivan. And as I said, with 2 minutes left, we still have a chance there. And if we get a goal, we'll go straight back to Ivan on that one. Currently 2-1 to Longford Town in the League of Ireland. Lads, let's talk about some kind of positives, okay? What manager, okay, has the most Munster titles? Liam Brosnan, this is an easy question for you.
What manager has the most Munster titles?
That's a simple one.
Jack O'Connor.
Oh Lord Jesus. Mico. Well, come on, John Kennedy. Mico. You think you?
But is this a scene?
We were talking.
Oh yeah, but sure, with you, it could be anyway. You could switch. I could say Mico, and you said
who was second, John Kennedy? It's not a Kerry Mendo.
Billy Morgan.
Oh, well done. Yeah, absolutely. Who's gone into third place, Liam?
Jack O'Connor. Jack,
absolutely. Jack. And who has he passed out? Obviously, Kerry Man.
Paul, yeah.
And God, I'm right here listening to me every night in RTE. Some fellas listen to more naughty than listen to Radio Kerry.
Fitzmaurice.
Well done, Mr. Fitzmaurice. Fair play to you. You'll have to come back because Jack is gone to 7 and you're on 6.
And how many is Mico?
Mico has 11.
11.
Yeah. Did you leave a few behind with those 11?
Oh, there was a few left, of course, yeah.
Which ones were left?
I suppose the 83 was left anyway.
Oh, that was definitely left, yeah.
Definitely left.
Tiggy Murphy took that.
Yeah, it was...
Was that sore? Was, like, you were in around the panel that time. I mean, was that... What happened when you went back into the dressing room after that?
You cry because you were out.
Well, you weren't there. Were you
well, it was knockout football, first of all.
We're going home.
It was knockout football, first of all. Yeah, and, yeah. Like, you know, that was a killer blow. But, you know, Cork wouldn't put away. Kerry should have been more ahead. And, you know, Tiggy Murphy got a chance and took it. The rest is history, as they say.
Yeah. And we'll say the Munster finals. Obviously, they're Munster finals now, but back in Mico's time, you know, when you got in, like, you spoke of the importance of winning it. I mean, obviously, the Cork factor and the whole lot, but was there more passion back then, or is it equally the same, or is it just seems to be bigger?
Tizzy, I suppose Munster, the standard has gone down, Donald, you know, in fairness.
But you were still hammering the likes of Clare out the gate and Tipperary and all
it
that.
It was Kerry Cork, really.
But it was Kerry and Cork.
It was Kerry and Cork. And, you know, Munster final in Killarney, that was something special. I think you said it here last few weeks ago. You know, we were in the Park Place. You'd go in there for your pre-match meal and you'd walk across the green and, like, the banter, huge crowds.
So as players, as a group of players, you'd have your lunch in the Park Place, yep. And you'd walk way up onto the...
You'd assemble in the Park Place, you'd walk up through the crowd and in...
And what was the crack like on that? Because obviously no teams arrive in buses and they're taken away from all that. I mean, what would the banter...
You'd be focused in your job, but there was a great banter with... But Kerry and Cork, you know, it was brilliant. And, you know, there was, you know, especially the likes of Bomber or Jacko, they're coming for special attention from the Cork lads, yeah. Sitting down, having a beer down in the grass and you know, they're talking, Cahill, he'll be on your today, a bomber or whatever, but that was part and parcel of it, and the games, you know, how good were they, but the intensity and the atmosphere was brilliant. You're 40,000 plus, and you know, a big crowd in Cusick Park yesterday, what was it, 10 or 12,000, I think it shows both teams are still in the championship, and to me, the knockout, that certainly has diluted it, that bite.
We even see that with the county championship and club games here. Like,
Would you have seen more bite yesterday if it was a straight knockout? Would Kerry have really...
I think you would.
Up the thing and yeah. Say, listen lads, we're taking absolutely no chances here, but because the season is the way it is and because there's a league system where, which is kind of, I suppose we get a lot of people saying, look, you have a league system now where four teams go in and three teams move on.
I think we have 24 games now to get rid of four teams.
Yeah, I don't know, pretty much.
I think it's, crazy, isn't it? Like,
it is,
you know,
yeah.
It's...
Yeah.
So the bite is gone,
like.
But if that is the way it's structured, why do Kerry need to peak now? I mean, like, all Kerry really need to do is come third out of
group of four.
And move on into the next round, and then it becomes knockout, and obviously that knockout comes back in John Kennedy, it does matter then, because then Jack Connor will go into the dressing room and say, listen lads, you lose today, it is all over.
Like Liam has said it, when you get to Croke Park in the quarter final, that's when the championship
will start.
That's when it really starts, because I mean, 3 out of 4 going through, you could nearly pick the 3 in every group now at this stage. Is that what championship is about? Not at all. You can forecast what's going to happen, and that's not championship football. But when you get to the last 8, there's no hiding then.
We said it here months ago, it'd be great if we could fast forward the year to the All-Ireland quarter-final, because you could nearly pick out the teams that were going to get to an All-Ireland quarter-final. Maybe one upset along the way usually might happen, but other than that, the teams that you'd pick are going to be quarter-final, so everything in between is kind of tick the box and,
yeah.
And
it's like that book that you want to read on holidays, but you want to get to the end to see who's murdered yeah. Some player who stole the money.
There are fierce books you're buying for holidays.
I'll be on holidays next week, guys. I'll be reading the big book. Come here, Dromod listener. Is Paddy Talley still coaching the Kerry backs? Yeah, Paddy Talley is still there. Is Shane Ryan injured? Two question marks even. He is our all-star goalkeeper.
Don't think he's injured, no?
Yeah. Yeah. Squad rotation?
Squad rotation, yeah.
Man,
and like John said, depends what happens in training as well. But you could see yesterday with Shane Murphy, the way he was, you know, fast with the ball, you know, everything was, if he's doing that behind the training, maybe the selectors or something, that would add to the Kerry thing. And it's always good to have two good goalkeepers in case.
And it's possibly you're going into training now, Tuesday night, like, regardless who you're playing.
Yeah.
The guys that played yesterday did well. The fellas weren't in there. Will hopefully come back, so you have a bite straight away.
Yeah.
You know, apart from the lads that didn't get a game.
Okay, fair enough. Listen, I think it's full time in Longford. Back over to Ivan Hurley. Did we get our goal, Ivan?
Absolutely not, Donal. Unfortunately, coming down the road with a defeat, it finished Longford Town 2, Kerry FC 1. It was those early goals from Francis Campbell and Luke Wade Slater that set the pace in the first half, but Ryan Keller's wonderful finish, I'm sure you'll see the highlights of later on. Fantastic goal by him, brought Kerry back into it, and despite a couple of frays into the Longford box in the later stages, nothing ever came close to beating Jack Brady again. So unfortunately, that's four defeats in a row now for Kerry FC after going eight games unbeaten, and it's UCD at home in Mount Hall Park again for Kerry FC on Friday night, Dawn. But it's finished here in Bishopsgate, a disappointing evening, a frustrating evening, you could say, for Kerry FC, who've been beaten by 2-1 to the host here, Longford Town. Dawn, back to you.
There you go, 2-1 defeat for Kerry FC this evening. It's amazing how things turn around. A couple of weeks ago, 7 on the road, now just 4 without a win. So there's lots of managers who will be looking at themselves. Now, hi, Donal. Will you wish our young guns, the Kerry Miners, the best of luck tomorrow night against Tipperary? Great to see some young players making their debut last week. Congratulations to the Kerry teams and management on good wins on Sunday. And our namesake, Amy Harrington, on the panel the last two matches. That's Dermot and Margaret Ann all the way down there in Two Cist. And there's a Kerry Minor on the Two Cist team, on the Kerry Minor, the Two Cist team. There's a Two Cist player on the Kerry Minor team as well. And then finally, before we wrap up, the GAA expects senior citizens to do long walks round from Lewis Road to the O'Sullivan stand. No facilities to scan tickets at the back of the stand. We would go, only we were rudely told, walk on. Ended up in the terrace, stand tickets not honoured, as we could not walk. Senior citizens, the O'Sullivan, Lewis Road to O'Sullivan stand, I'd imagine that was the Cork game maybe 2 weeks ago, was it?
Yeah.
It wasn't in Ennis yesterday because you could park on the footpath outside.
Well, you did anyway. Abandoned it.
Jesus, I don't know about parking, abandoning. Listen, guys, we will talk for maybe 5 minutes just after the break as well, because I want to touch on the under-20s and the minors. Liam, you've been following the under-20s?
Yeah, and fantastic performance during the week, yeah. You know, and what I like is we have players there that you can earmark as potential seniors.
And funnily enough, when that under-20 squad came out, people said, oh, they weren't very big names and they were all very young and nobody knew who they were. And Rob Stack inside the middle of them, and he like a general.
Yeah, he's a leader, Donal, in fairness, and he is led by example. And, you know, particularly his work rate, the last night I thought, more than when he was on the ball, his work rate off the ball, his blocking and doing the simple things. And ably assisted by Eddie Healy, who I thought is, you know, he was a wing back in the minors.
He's going all North carrying us.
Tomas, yeah. No, in fairness, and Tomas had brought him back. But there was some, you know, all through the team, it was refreshing to see they played some great football and worked for his hand.
But even getting there back to our county championship, and people were kind of saying it was our county championship developing players. Rob Stack stood out in the county championship, and you know, I wouldn't have known Rob Stack until the county championship. So that's why our county championship is so important for us, you know, that we can say, right, that fella's a Kerry footballer.
Yeah. And sure, aren't you all met to shove Shane Range though, the county championship and the likes of the Rob Stack?
It shows that they're there. It's not about winning.
Yeah.
They're still playing good football.
Fair play. Listen, we'll take that back up after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now we're going to keep John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan with us for a couple more minutes, and of course we have hurling on this hour as well with James McCarthy and Richard O'Haron. And about 20 past 7 this evening, we're going to catch up with Tralee CBS, the Green, TYJ future leaders, and we'll see that they survived last Thursday, and we actually have the winners coming in as well. And who knows, they might be three CBS winners, they might be from somewhere else. We'll have to wait till 7:20 to figure that one out. Now, Kerry Miners, Liam, it's great to see them out, great to see them up and up and running fairly well.
It was, and a huge crowd blowing us in Sack Park.
Yeah.
You know? And it just reminded me that the olden days, again, they were underage, you know, when there was big crowds at Cork and Kerry matches, and the same with under 20s, then the night after.
What's strange about that, because minor really matters, doesn't it, when it comes down to, I mean, it's the young lad who's making his debut from the club, and you have the family, and you have the uncles and the aunts and the neighbours, and you have the club support as well, and then all of a sudden you go on a massive run as well, hopefully.
Yeah, and it's a big deal, like we said, for the whole parish, the family, you know, young fella putting on the first. I know they've come through development squads, but we used to always say, until you put on a Kerry Minor jersey, that's a proper Kerry Minor jersey, you know. And I think these guys, you know, they equip themselves very well. Mm-hmm. You know, I suppose the only downfall was, I suppose, their scoring prowess with the amount of possession they had, but some very good performances there. Like I thought Casper Rohrbach in goals, you know, one for the future as well.
Dr. Crokes,
yeah,
taking over from Shane Murphy, maybe.
That's right, yeah. So they're starting to do something right there. And Dr. Crokes, Michael Lynch, full back. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought midfield, Ben Murphy, Killian Dinihe, very athletic, two very athletic midfielders. You go up front in, I was looking at Jack Joy inside in the corner, even though he's starting the wing now, this, I think, tomorrow night, but a lively little divil around the place, you know. And you're Ronan Carroll, nice, good, strong full forward as well. Garrard White had a very good game, you know. So there's a lot of names there, you know, that we'll be keeping an eye out of in the next couple of weeks. And I think they're a team to be watched. They're a very evenly balanced team, you know. No stars there. You know, we've been watching minor teams in the last couple of years with one or two very, very good forwards. I think there's a very good kind of 18, 19, 20 players here that could do a role for Wayne and the management team. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see him going forward now.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, yeah, they're out this week. John Kane, let's go back to the under-20s, because they're obviously a couple of steps forward. They're into an All-Ireland semi-final. It's amazing that we've won three Munster under-20s kind of in a row, and kind of without huge headlines as well, because I remember not too long ago we weren't winning Munster under-20s or under-21s at the time, and people were saying football, yeah, was destroyed and the whole lot. Now we're winning. Does Tomás O'Shea need to kick on even further though from a Munster? Does he need an All-Ireland in his hand?
Well, I suppose, look, the players, he's unearthed players, a very decent team and panel, to be fair. Now, you know, they were impressive the last night. This was against a Cork team that were rated, to be fair. It was a very good game, Liam. You know, we were at it together, and the pace and the intensity they brought was brilliant. Now, they were beaten by Sligo last year. Maybe a good Sligo team, but maybe just, you know, could have got over it, but didn't. But now they've met Tyrone, were seemingly the team to beat, and they went to penalties against Derry. So, you know, when you get to the last four, every team is there in merit, there's very little in it, it's going to be tough. But I think that the manner of their victory the last night, you know, and like the players that impressed us, like Derek Callan, thinking coming at fullback, Charlie Keating, Crokes, outstanding at wing back.
Lively, he's like a Gavin White all over,
yeah,
again.
Great pace, great legs. You know, Darragh O'Connor, Kilcoman, centre back. You know, as we said, the two midfielders, were they spectacular? No. You know, Eddie Healy was the runner, but Rob Stack stayed around the middle, closed off the gap that we were talking about, that the seniors have, you know, a different level, but, you know, contested when he needed to contest. And then up front, Daniel Kirby, you know, kicked a couple of great points early on, coming in from the minors. They're very young, these lads. Oran Ferris, Aidan Crowley at full forward, Cormac Dillon kicked some great frees, and you know, a guy everyone is talking about, Luke Crowley, his athleticism and maybe took a little bit too much out of it at times, but you know, he drew.
He's eye-catching, though.
He is. He is. I mean, he drops the shoulder.
Yeah. Wins freeze.
Know, he wins, yeah, freeze. And Thomas Kindy at wing forward. You know, this is a guy. He can win the ball in the air. He can take scores. He's athletic. You know, I was very impressed with him. And I think the manner of their, and it shows that their management team, look, under Tomás, Sean Welsh, fierce experience, Brian Sheehan, Morris Horden. You know, a lot of great people there on the sideline. You know, hopefully they'll get over the line.
You would give him credit, because the Luke Crowley situation, and this has happened down through the years,
yeah,
would managers, and I know managers, they probably would have told him to stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to play hurling, stay at home. You know,
they took him
and they played ball with him and everything, and I think that's what needs to be done with the, yeah, likes of these players.
Is that proof that if two managers can communicate
exactly
together, yeah, and I mean, this is cross codes and cross sports, yeah, and God, I mean, like Steve Malumpy obviously needs Luke as well, and yeah. and the whole lot, and they are managing. But it does kind of, even though, I mean, if you look at the stats, I think somebody said that he played four games yeah. in 11 days or something.
But when you're that age, you know, it's different, Darry, when you go to senior, probably. Mm-hmm. You know, when he goes to senior football and senior hurling, it might be different. But he's at an age when he can choose. Yeah. You know, I think at under 20 level, there should be. You know, put the arms around them, get them play whatever they want to play. It's like basketball, stopping young fellas playing basketball because we're going to be a Kerry minor in 6 months' time. That's not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, let people play, let the youngsters play the sports and let them develop. Yeah. And I think there's a big kudos to the management yeah. because the way they, because like I said, I would know management teams down through the years who would have told Luke stay at home.
Yeah, and I think the important thing, Liam hitting it there, is whatever sport it is, you don't decide for a player what he should play. That'll come back to haunt you afterwards. You give him the opportunity of playing soccer, rugby, hurling, football,
doesn't matter.
Basketball, give them, they'll see eventually, I can't continue, mm-hmm. but you don't say no. I think that's very important. Fantastic, well done to the Kerry management team under Tomás. They handled it very well.
Yeah.
Mate, you're finishing on the positive. Both of you.
And there is a positive there because there is players yeah. there who, just like Killeen Burke and these guys, who you can earmark for Kerry seniors in years to come.
Okay, fair play. Final wrap up on everything. So, kind of positive about the clear result.
Look, Don, we got the result in fairness. We got all the line.
There's a clear man outside there sporting a clear jersey. Here.
We're Munster champions, look, and well done to the boys and that. And look, it's
the box ticked.
It's that the Kerry supporters demand so much.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to them after the game and last night, we should have got a couple of goals. We should have done this. Of course we should. But look, we'll be in Croke Park in the All-Ireland quarter-final. Tis then we have to be doing it.
Mm-hmm. Quick question, Liam, on the smaller venues. I mean, obviously, look, Clare kind of proved yesterday that, you know, you can roll out the place like the stations and
the banner roar.
The banner roar, and, yeah. and it's great, and the weather was fine. Loud going to Croke Park.
Wouldn't it be nice to head up to Loud now and yeah. The loud support that would come out, even to see the Kerry footballers, it would be huge. And plus, it'd give us a bit of a test as well. No, so but look, that's not going to happen. But maybe something that the likes of Croke Park should be looking at. Maybe the lower division teams know that if a Division One team draws a Division Three team, it's a Division Three home venue. Another kind of a way.
And you might get your wish, Liam Braston, because you know I'm a great fan of the underdog, and I really hope that Loud will win the next day, and then you will have Dublin. And then we'll put all your theories to the test fairly quickly.
I'd say dream on, Donald.
Well, do you know what? It's an underdog's world, you never know. Hopefully that will come out the other side and we'll have Dublin. Wouldn't that be exciting? Good stuff. We'll take a quick commercial break and after we'll talk hurling.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, despite a loss to Laois on Saturday, Kerry senior hurlers are still in the hunt for a place in the Joe McDonagh Cup final, a trip to Offaly coming in the next 2 weeks. But what will we need to do better if we need to get past the other Midlanders, James McCarthy and Richardo Ferran on the phone? James McCarthy, we said last week that Laois were going to be a level above anything that Kerry have come on, not surprisingly, in the defeat. Did the manner of the defeat maybe be disappointing?
It was, I suppose, only kind of, this was the benchmark, really. Laois have been excellent. But Laois, you could see they were that little bit better than us. We struggled. They were very good at first half. The goals, they had three goal chances first half. They only took one. Fair play. Luigi made a great save. Murphy made a great save off the line. Like, but it could have been way worse by half time. But we said it all along. I knew myself that this Laois team are a good Laois team. And I kind of worried about us. But, you know, very competitive. But we just naively in a few places, maybe not delivering our balls through the line properly, very slow ball up front, or puck out stress. You can see the difference that Redon was in the Roland goal. Is one of the best goalies in Ireland, I reckon myself. His puck outs were absolutely pinpoint. Louis D was resorting long time to long balls, and any short ball we were just in trouble. There was just a different level there, and we knew it was coming. But the performance wasn't too bad. In fairness, performance all right, battled hard, but Laois were nice bit better.
Mm-hmm. Richard, I suppose at the start of the year, I mean, we probably didn't think we were going to be in a situation where we were going to be going into round four within touching distance of a final. The Leash obviously look a class above everybody else, and I suppose Stephen Malumpy even kind of said that in his press conference the week before, saying that Leash were going to really knock Kerry somewhere on their rear end fairly quickly. They didn't really get knocked on their rear end, but they were beaten all right. But was there still something that you'd point and say, yeah, do you know, it's still a work in progress, there's still potential here?
Oh, absolutely. I think, and James has covered a lot of it there. We knew the Leash were going to be that bit better, that bit sharper, and they were. You know, they were as we expected, despite the fact that they arrived late. They got into their stride pretty quickly. And I suppose, too, I was talking to a few Kerry lads afterwards, and I suppose the intensity as well and the physical strength. I know people said that Kerry made a few errors, but I think a lot of the errors were forced. When you're up against a team like Leash, who are that bit sharper and that bit better, and they will force those mistakes. As James said there, Roland is one of the best keepers in the country, and his puckouts were excellent as well. Now, fair play to Louis for his saves as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, they were that little bit better, and we just have to accept that. Now, the boys battled all the way to the end. I suppose Hionan was unlucky with a goal chance coming towards the end that would have narrowed it. But I suppose Leash kept ahead, you know, they kept picking off their points, and, you know, they ensured that they weren't going to be troubled. But, as you said, we never thought that we'd beat Westmeath, and we thought we'd have trouble against Down as well, and, you know, that would be a tricky one. But we're still in a good position. The lads are confident. Speaking to a few of the lads, they're confident going to Offaly. It's not going to be easy. But going back to Saturday, look, it is what it is, and you will be beaten by a better team, as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. James McCarthy, you've said on loads of occasions, you know, Kerry hurlers are better when their backs are to the wall. I mean, the last day we were going in top of the table, now all of a sudden, in 2 weeks when we go to Offaly, it really is a knockout game. Is there a knockout punch in this team?
I think it's probably the familiarity with Offaly will level the playing field a little bit. Like Leash, maybe yes, they played Leash a good few times as well, but they played Offaly so often now that Offaly are going to be wary of Kerry as well, and Kerry are wary of Offaly. The two of them know each other so well, they can be a lot closer, even though it took a late goal from Leash to beat Offaly. So going by that result, you're saying, geez, Leash and Offaly are on par, like there's very, very little between them. But I think there's Offaly and Kerry are a lot closer to each other than Leash and Kerry. Leash are nice, but ahead. But I think, you know, I was definitely impressed with a lot of play with lads, but the one worry I had was our two best forwards were taken off, Dan Goggin and Matty Connor, starved the ball. We cannot do that again. If we do that against Offaly, we'll come down the road with the same results. We really got to get that ball in faster, and we really got to do something with our puckouts. It was and I know it's the way they play, but we were just stopped at our own 45, and we resorted to hitting it long, and their sweeper just cleaned it up all day long. Against Offaly, they'll have Killian Sampson sitting back, or they'll have Kelly. They will sweep up all day long, and they will tattoo us as well. So we got to really change a few things for next day. But I think it'll be more level playing field. I'd go up, still go up some hope, which is, as you say, could it's actually a semi final. So you have a cut off them.
Mm-hmm. Rishtar, James's point there, I mean, the week before we were talking about our inside forward line and how lethal they were, and obviously Leash probably looked at the video a good bit as well and kind of cut it off at source. Is that an easy fix? Is that something that Kerry can fix in the next week or two?
Well, I suppose I've said this before, and I think people have had this debate with regard to the Kerry footballers as well. You know, a lot of the as Ambrose said, the tippy tapping, and Clifford inside with the hand up looking for a quick ball in, and we're not getting quick ball in to Clifford. And I think with regard to the hurlers, it's probably a bit similar. I think we're taking a lot out of the ball, a lot of passes that are unnecessary. Now I suppose it's easier for me sitting up in the stand, but I think that sometimes we over elaborate it a bit, and I think, as James says, we could get quicker ball into the forwards, because the likes of Mossy and Dan Goggin, they need quick ball in. And my fear is that the longer you delay that, it allows teams like Leash to set up and to combat what we're planning. If you can get the ball out quickly and get the ball in quickly to the corner forwards, you allow the opposition to have less time. You don't give them as much time on the ball to set up. If you sort of take more passes than probably what you need, inside, we'll say, before you hit the 40, it gives the other teams time to set up and to, I suppose, combat and negate what you're trying to do, and that is the quick ball into the corner forward. That's my opinion anyway.
Mm-hmm. James, looking at the performances the last day, I mean, like Colin Walsh, Michael Lean, I mean, at different stages caught massive ball. Killian Hayes, I think he scored a massive point as well. The lads are kind of coming through the school of hard knocks in the sense, because obviously there's so much written and wrote about the fact that 10 or 12 players have disappeared, or even maybe 14. It's hard to learn on your feet, maybe, is it?
Yeah, it can be. It can be. You really need a steady head around you. But I thought Simon's leadership, I thought, was excellent. From Maxie, I thought he was really right throughout. He had a hard day of it, like he was knocking Tiggy Maher there on the half hour line. So he's hard to knock. Like, and they had Paddy Purcell in midfield, who Paddy Purcell was an All Star nominee a few years ago when Leash were going well. Like, these are good Leash players. This is a very underrated Leash team. Like, maybe they shouldn't be in this competition really, but look. You are who you are. You like, didn't win the final, so like, you are where you are. That's what it is. Like, Kerry are there, so we should be competing against these guys. But Jesus, it was night and day the last day. Don't really. They were their scores. They wanted. This is what was going to come handy. They worked them brilliantly. They never sold up with the ball. There was one strike to hand. Everything was to hand. Turn. Strike to score. Strike to the next man. They never soloed the ball. We did it about 50 times because we took about 50 short puckouts, and then that cornerback was allowed to solo to the 45, 65. Right, that's as far as you go. Now pick something out. And we never did.
Mm-hmm. Is that a style thing, James? Is that something that's kind of worked on? You know, maybe it might get the better of kind of more teams our level, but when you come up against a team that were a former senior team or a former Joe McDonough winning team as well, they will catch you out on this.
Oh, they will. That's what they want you to do. Like, no disrespect to our cornerbacks. Evan, I thought Evan Murphy was very good. Neric Lee was very good. But that's what they want. They want your cornerbacks to be solo on the ball, up to you, up to their own 65. Right there you are now. We're going to stop you right there now. And when they do turn you over, that's where our goal came from. We soloed our defence, ball was hand passed, broken down straight away, one quick ball, Paddy Purcell into Keys in the corner, buried. They want you to make that mistake. It's like a trap. Limerick have been doing it for years. They will let you have that ball, suck you in, take it off you, turn it over, score. And that's what they want you to do. Like, and you could see, like, that was really the main difference when we could see last Saturday. I saw the restarts. Leash restarted, they never lost the ball. Rowland's puckouts were absolutely, if you could write it down and say, this is how you do puckouts, you would write it down. Everything he did was absolutely perfect. Whereas Louis had to go long a lot of times, even when he went short. He had very little option. I don't blame the man at all, but it is a style thing. And we have to work on that. It's not something we're going to fix straight away, but it was a big, big problem.
Week off this week, of course, in Richard, before we get back to that Offaly game. We certainly can travel to Offaly more and hope, maybe, can we?
Yes. And speaking to some of the players afterwards, they are confident. I mean, they are confident that they can go to Offaly and get a result there. Will it be easy? No, it won't. But, you know, we are where we are now. We have to win it. It's semi-final. And it'll get, you know, if we win it, we're in the Joe McDonough final. But, again, it's going to be tough. I mean, not discounting Meath, whom we have to play on the 25th. But, look, they'll go. They will learn from last Saturday. They will know what they need to do. And I think James has addressed a lot of it there with regard to being sucked in and being dispossessed and then, you know, the turnover. And we will have to learn. And there's no point saying, look, you know, we're up against a better team, but, you know, you have to deal with that and adopt, I suppose, a pattern and a style where you get quicker ball in and that you don't maybe invite that sort of a danger of being turned over, so that, as I said, you get the quicker ball into the corner forwards. Get rid of it. And I think that, you know, if we can address those issues, I think we can travel to Offaly in hope.
Fair play to you. Listen, guys, thanks very much for your contributions this evening. James, you can go back surfing there in Benna, and Richard is fairly busy as well. That's James and McCarthy and Richard O'Farron, our two hurling experts, and they'll be back in 2 weeks' time, hopefully with a win over Offaly.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the CBS, the Green Tralee, TYGA Future Leaders, we had them in last week, of course, and we were building up to their McKeever Super Nines football tournament, which has been done and dusted, and we have winners and we have losers and we have critical analysis reports and everything. The boys are back in with us. Delighted to have them, and they're in the company, of course, Mark and Martin Frawley as well, who is sporting a Clare jersey. Can you imagine? Can you imagine coming on Radio Kerry the night after a Munster final, and he says, "I'm going to wear a Clare jersey," and then say, "I didn't realise I was wearing it." Mark Ryle, no Clare jersey by you?
No.
We'll leave that one off. Come here to me. First of all, congratulations. Anybody that's following anything on social media will know it was absolutely fantastic. Jarlett was down, and you know, he gave the speech and the whole lot, and he got through the tournament, and the games were held on time, and there was nothing cancelled, and we have winners and the whole lot, and players of the tournament and everything. Overall, Mark, I mean, how proud are you of the achievement, not of the winning, the losing, the teams and all that, but the actual, from day one to the finish of the project? And hopefully you're probably waiting for next year already, are you?
Yeah, I suppose it's the boys, really. It's Martin and the TYs, I suppose, the effort they put in has been huge, I suppose, and to see what they produced at the end of it and to get the credit for it. It's like everything, the amount of work you put in, you always want today to go well and stuff. And to be fair to the boys and the feedback that came back from all the teams and the mentors that were involved in it, and even from around the county, since it has been a great success. Everything went smooth on the day. There was no hiccups, no problems, and that's down to the boys as well. Like, you know, you can say myself and Martin were in each venue or whatever, but they were the lads doing the umpires, they were the lads doing the linesmen, they were the lads setting up, keeping the scores, keeping everything done. So and they had everything set up as well, along with the host clubs as well. So it's a huge achievement for those to undertake a task like that, to, I suppose, bring the president of the GAA down. It adds the pressure to it as well, to make sure everything went well and stuff like that, and bringing teams from outside the county, no more so than inside the county, adds more pressure, because when they're coming down, they expect it to be ran right as well. So and that's great credit to them. So Dermot and Bobby there being part of it, and Oliver as well, was outstanding as well over the last couple of months, and the team he had behind him. So it's not maybe just the two boys, but it's the there was 40 or probably 35 or 40 or 50 involved in the day, I suppose. So, and it's great credit to all of those for doing the job. I suppose they were all given maybe small parts, and all the small parts added up to a big part at the end. So it's great credit to those for being involved in that.
And yet, Martin, I presume you're looking forward to next year already, are you?
Yeah, there's talks.
New TYs.
Talks of next year already, which I suppose reflects the success and maybe the enjoyment that all the schools got. I suppose on the Thursday and Friday, we were getting lots of positive feedback from the schools that had taken part, and the players got a lot out of it, the different format of style of football, encouraging the kick pass. We saw that a lot from watching the different games, and the range of skills on offer was just fantastic to see. So delighted with the feedback, and I suppose as we reflect on what has gone by, we've already seen areas that we can improve on and make it better for next year. So it might be at Super Lions 2025 on the way.
Oh, well, you have to get them, geez, straight away. Bobby, you won't be TY next year, you'll be moving on, will you?
Yeah, I'll be going into fifth year. Yeah.
So you'll be explaining to the other boys how to run it, will you?
Oh, we might have to give them a few pointers, yeah. But
absolutely. A few meetings, consultations they're called, you know, outside of work and that kind of stuff. Come here to me, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was great to be a part of it. Like, I found this. Everything went well, and it was just nice to see everything unfold as we had planned.
You got rid of loads of programmes, did you?
Oh, I got rid of a few of them.
It's a fabulous looking programme, to be absolutely fair, because usually when people say GAA programmes, it's kind of like the way the world has gone now is about six pages and the whole lot. But I mean, the amount of detail, and we were laughing at it last evening about the amount of work to get it done. When you see it printed in your hand, do you get a good buzz out of that?
Yeah, I suppose it goes, when you're looking at them on the computer, you see all your is that
you're sick of seeing them
holding this. Yeah,
yeah. You'll be saying, is St. Brendan's on page 36 now, or did we have the same people in the same thing? Did I get the team captain? Is the ad in the right page? Isn't the colour and the whole lot? So a lot goes into it. Your other general manager over here, Dermot, you look very refreshed after the weeks, but you done nothing, did you?
I did a bit, so I did, yeah.
Not too much though, did you?
Yeah, I was different away, I was, yeah.
Fair play. Come here, I mean, from the very start the last morning, explain maybe to listeners, before the competition even got going, because you made the draws, of course, and everybody knew what divisions they were in. Obviously, you had referees and you were allocating them to different fields and all that kind of stuff. But from there on in, explain the day to us.
Yeah, I suppose we all arrived up to our two different venues at the start. We kind of, we knew where we were going, as in all the TOIs knew where they were going, and it'd be either Mr. Frawley or Mr. Rail that they'd be kind of be under, that'd be kind of over the entire venue. And we got our lanyards, we had them done before, and they all had their jobs in them, so umpires knew what they were going and what pitch they were at already, and linesmen knew what pitch they were at, so, you know, pitch coordinators knew what pitch they were going to and everything, and then it was kind of unfolded as soon as lads kind of went to where they were going. They knew their jobs, and it was kind of self-explanatory what they were doing. So after that, the pitch coordinators started looking at the players and the scores and stuff, and started noting that. And then the venue coordinators were kind of keep making sure that they were still doing their job. This was, I was with them posting stuff up on Twitter, so I was kind of going around the place taking pictures and stuff, and look, everybody did their job well, in fairness.
And of course the results start coming in fairly lively, do they?
Oh, they do, yeah.
And what happens then? I mean, is there somebody sitting there at a table saying, oh, they're after beating these and that kind of stuff, is it?
So me and Mr. Sheehan were there over pitch 2 in Mitchell's, and I was there watching the game, and we were taking the score, and I'd send them back then to the fellas doing the scoreboard, and they'd make up their groups and to go up on the Twitter then.
Mm-hmm. And of course, after the first round of games, you had kind of a cup and a shield, hadn't you?
Yeah, we had. Once the group stages were done...
You had the Mikey Shee and the Gerard Power, I should say, really.
Yeah. Once the group stages were done, we knew that the top two from each group would be going into the Mikey Sheehy Cup, and in the bottom two, or the bottom one, as the group went, we'd go into the Gerard Power Shield. And after that, we had our fixtures that say, now the first in group one would play the second in group two, and the second in group three would play the first in group four, and so on like that. So we knew what we were going with that.
Mm-hmm. And how long was the day then?
The first match started at 10 o'clock, and I think the final started around 4 o'clock.
Okay, so you kind of tipped away too. Of course, you had a lot of games played as well, hadn't you?
We had, yeah. There was a good few games. So I suppose there was four teams in two groups and three teams in the other two groups. So there was a good few games we played. And then, sure, the knockout stages, there was quarterfinals, semi-finals and finals. Like, and there was obviously quarterfinals for both the Shield and Cup, and semi-final for the Shield and Cup, and then the final for the Shield and Cup in Stacks Park then.
Mm-hmm. Did you get much feedback, Bobby, from the teams afterwards? Did fellas say, God, this is great, we'll come back again next year, or how would that break down?
In fairness there was a good few teams that I'd say they're ready to go again next year if it's on, and I'd say we will go next year, and yeah, the next crowd are going organising it, but I'd say the teams were fairly enthusiastic about it anyway. They're happy to be a part of it.
And you almost had the Disney finish, apart from the sim arriving. So close, huh?
I suppose it'd look a bit bad if we won our own tournament the first year, but sure.
It means you'd win it every year, is it? Come here, Keane Stack. Why didn't you let them have their Disney moment? I mean, get to the final and let them win.
I suppose it's a rivalry there already, so we couldn't give it to them, but it's always a great battle against the green. And
It's a different sort of football as well, Keane. I mean, obviously we're talking about 15 and Russell Cup, and we're talking about, we'll say, the way that you play for clubs and the whole lot. What's it like playing nines?
Oh, it's good, in fairness. Like, it's one-on-one football at the end of the day, and even for the smaller schools it's good, because you don't need 15 good players, 9 will do. And it's great for other schools because there's great competition going through today. Mm-hmm.
And did you have a lot of competition to get to that, I suppose, squad before you even got to this competition?
Yeah, I suppose we would. Yeah, there's always tough games. So yeah.
Dara Keane, Keane or Keane?
Keane.
Oh wow, okay, we won't go on wrong. That's kind of a so scary thing. Come here, a fine big little plaque in front of you, player of the tournament. How many shoulders did you get?
Oh, I got a few, right.
We've got a few. Come here to me. You must really have enjoyed the kind of form of play, because obviously, like Keane said, it's kind of a forward's dream to play in that. Did you get loads of space and you got loads of movement? And
Yeah, it was good, all right. Sure, all the lads were helping me along, so it was good. Good in fairness for a forward.
You were pouring in ball. Come here, speak to me about your tournament and how you got through the various games.
So in the first game we played Newry, and that was a tough game, and we got by that, and then we'd Bandon in the second game, and that was another tough game, but we got through it. And we had Montauk in the quarterfinal, and they were very good, trained well, and we were lucky to get through that one. And then we had Tullamore, they were very well coached in the semi-final. I think we only won that by 2 or 3, and then sure, the green in the final, that was oh, it was going to be a tough game, and we were lucky we pulled away in the last few minutes of that.
Yeah, fair play. Keane, a lot of strange teams there. Newry, Bendon, well, you obviously played the Hammies the odd time, probably, maybe coming to Tullamore. I mean, what was it like to play those teams in particular?
Yeah, it was good, yeah. Like, you didn't really know what was coming up against. We played Bendon earlier in the year, so we knew about them. They were always going to be good, like, they're a big squad. So, yeah, it was good, in fairness, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose, particularly when you played the likes of Mount Hawk and when you played Tralee CBS, I suppose you've played them along the way in different age groups and all that. So, and then maybe through different kind of development squads, you know various players from different clubs. You can probably play County League. But talk to me about the Tullamore, because Dara said they were well coached. What stood out for them? Why were they a little bit difficult?
Yeah, they just seemed well organised. They knew what to do, and they were like a well-rounded good team, in fairness to them. So yeah, they're my team, in fairness, yeah.
Fair play. Like Crotta.
Yeah, exactly.
Well-rounded team.
100%, yeah.
Good stuff. Come here to me. When you see the amount of players coming and going and playing and the whole lot, and then you go home in the evening and I don't know what you'd be doing or whatever, but do you say to yourself, God, I kind of organised that there now, you know, myself and Bobby, of course, and Oliver, and maybe a couple more as well, a couple of teachers with us. Do you kind of get a good kick out of it, you know, the fact that, well, first of all, you're a hurler rather than a footballer and you're organising football tournaments, but do you get a good sense of kind of achievement out of it?
Yeah, you get a big sense of achievement out of it. You know, it's kind of only after the event's kind of over and finished with that you kind of realise, like, well, I've organised, I'm part of a crew that's organised an All-Ireland tournament like that, you know, that the president of the GAA has come down to and has taken his time out of his day to come down to and actually see, like, and, you know, there's teams from all around the island of Ireland that's came down, say, now from Ulster, Connacht, Leinster, everything, that it is really good to see it after it's done. Like, you don't, when you're in the heat of the moment, like, actually doing the tournament and even the work leading up to it, you don't actually realise how significant it is, really. So,
mm-hmm. Fair play to you. Gosh, he's getting closer to my seat every week, isn't he? he'll have it next year. Come here, we'll take a quick commercial break, and after break, we'll talk about Charlotte Burns, maybe.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Donal Barry here till 8 o'clock in the company of, well, it's kind of unique, really. I'm in the company of CBS The Green and St. Brendan's College, all joined together in harmony for a while, anyway, I suppose. We won't have with Russell Cup, I suppose. That's on the horizon. Mark, are you training hard for that, are you?
Yeah, I'm.
Don't give away any secrets now.
Mr. Cohen in there, no, Mr. O'Connor.
Yeah, they have big pressure on them, is there?
Yeah, they have two finals now. They can't make a trainer all, so we have to sort it out.
Oh my
They've lost them twice already.
You see what you've done? You're taking away the trainer all, huh?
Yeah.
It's a bit like Liverpool and Klopp now. You will go from 4-3-2 and you might get one. Will they get one?
Leave the boys sort that out.
Come here, Martin. I mean, something like this, as we discussed, doesn't just happen by luck. I mean, you get a lot of, I suppose, sponsors and people coming on board. I presume there's a few people that you kind of need to tick the box with, maybe.
Yeah, look, no matter where we turned, we got loads of support throughout the year. As I said last week, this project started all the way back in September, and throughout the different months and weeks, lots of people got behind the project. So I suppose, like Dermot said earlier on, to the Uachtaráin Cumhlach, Luke Haskell, Jarlath Burns himself, for making the journey down to Tralee, and I suppose adding to the whole experience, we kind of spoke about him greeting the players before the final, which was a huge thing. I suppose the start of some of the players' journey in there, and maybe getting to Croke Park and maybe happen again further down the line. To Gort Community School for allowing us to be part of the Super 9 series and to creating the football version of their camogie and hurling tournaments. Their hurling tournament takes place on Thursday, so best of luck to all the TYs and Owen Hanley, the coordinator up there with that event. To Croke Park for giving us the go-ahead to run the National All-Ireland Under-15 tournament. McKeever Sports for their incredible sponsorship of the whole Super Nines event. Without it, it wouldn't be possible. We're just about to finalise our all-star team of the tournament, so they'll be providing fantastic prizes for those nine players and for the moments of skill throughout the tournament. Without our two local clubs, Austin Stacks GA, led by chairperson Shane Lynch, and John Mitchell's GA, led by Breed McElligott, the tournament wouldn't have been possible. So huge thanks to the two clubs and all the clubs that got behind the project. We had a fantastic club night a number of weeks ago. The Kerry County Board, fantastic support from them, led by our liaison with Liam Lynch, Don Daly, Tim Daly, who had the grounds in fantastic condition on the day. There was rain throughout, but the pitch looked in immaculate condition, and it also had two games on the Wednesday and the Tuesday beforehand. And the Kerry PRO, Emma Sweeney as well, who really helped us publicise the event. Local GDCs, Morgan Madden and Larkin Martin as well, for being there on the day which really added to the experience on the day. The finals, Tomás Hannafin as well introduced the teams, like All-Ireland final style, or even
Scoilga, no doubt.
There was a bit of Gaelga there as well, and
called in for Aran Aveen as well.
A fantastic rendition of the Aran Aveen as well. So again, all those little things really added to the experience. The programme sponsors, like we mentioned earlier, that publication wouldn't have been possible at all without the incredible support of the various sponsors in the booklet. And a particular mention goes to Cara Credit Union and Walsh Colour Printing for their incredible support of the production side of it. Medical provision as well was provided, and special mention to Linda Harris and Leonard Mangan for their support of that. Both venues had medical provision provided on the day, so incredibly thankful for that. The entire CBS The Green team for their support, and those who helped out throughout the project and on the day. Again, there was people running everywhere for things that were needed, and no favour was left without being followed up on, so thanks to them. Going back to the clubs then, Austin Sachs and John Mitchell's created a fantastic atmosphere on the day. So in Austin Sachs, Harry and Catherine Hines, Annette Carmody, Mary Shanahan, Nora O'Connor and Liz Keller, fantastic hospitality shown to the teams. And likewise in John Mitchell's, Brian and his team, Joe Sullivan, Mark McAvoy, John Hagerty, and Tandy as well, really added and helped all the teams that were there. And finally, we're on to the Rose Hotel, and our Mark O'Sullivan there and Alan from Benners in Tralee. They provided fantastic overnight accommodation package for the teams, and all the teams that stayed there were so complimentary of the hospitality shown. Alan O'Sullivan as well for the amazing food catering for the teams. They were both offered snacks and hot meal option, and those teams were incredibly grateful for his service. And finally, Sean's Street Pizzas for their providing food on the day of the tournament as well, and adding a hot food on a cold day, which really added to the experience as well.
Jesus, Keane Stack, you didn't make a speech as long as that, did you?
Oh, jeez, no.
Bobby, no homemade sandwiches?
No, I went
sure
for
you'd be out buttering and bread made.
I was more for the pizza there on the
day. Oh, yeah. More for the pizza. And seeing that you mentioned Tomás O'Hanafin there, of course, score sheen, so the best look to spa in the Rinca set, and Nach na Gosha, of course, there in the quiz as they continue their preparations for the All-Ireland score finals, which will take place in the INEC next Saturday. And hopefully we'll have a couple more winners there as well. Keane, you got to meet Gerald Burns, obviously. You met him a bit longer because you were introducing your players and all that kind of, correct? When that happens, are you kind of just in the game mode, or are you saying, oh wow, this is the present to G?
Yeah, I suppose the game mode mainly, but it was lovely to meet him in fairness, and he was a lovely man, so yeah, it was good in fairness.
What did he say to you? What did any conversation with you?
He was just saying how I was, and he was like, I'm wondering, and yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. It'll last long in the memory, but at least you met him. You're probably one of the first Kerry people to meet him. Derek Keane, you met him after the game, of course.
Yeah, I did.
Did he give you your little cup?
He did. He gave me the plaque, right? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any few words?
Ah, he just said well done, and that's what it is. Yeah.
Did you say I'm a big fan of yours or anything? No.
He's a nice and interesting man, to be fair to him.
Yeah, he seems to be Bobby, the type of character you could have a good chat with.
He seems alright. No, I wasn't talking to him myself, but he seems like a nice fella. Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, that's a great start. What do you think? Did you meet him?
No, I didn't. I only saw him as all, so I don't know too much about him, no.
Oh my God, you didn't even get a high five or nothing?
No, nothing, no.
Well, of course, that's the role of the volunteers, because usually when you run an event, the last people ever to be seen are the crowd at the bottom. But you are well noticed and you are well thanked, to be fair. If you were running it again, how would you improve it? What would you improve? Could you improve it? Are you happy out with the first one?
I was happy out of it. No, I don't think there is too much that we could really have done better now, I suppose. maybe if you'd gone just a day before or so to the venue, just kind of maybe set up a bit of the stuff earlier, you know.
Was there a mad panic in the morning, was there?
There was, yeah. It's kind of, well, not too much of a panic now, but kind of just getting the stuff set up, like, you know, kind of getting all the posters up and the scoreboards and stuff. They kind of, if you'd be a bit more prepared for that stuff, apart from that, everything else wouldn't have.
So if you weren't under pressure, you probably wouldn't be doing it right, would you?
Oh, no, I'd say, yeah. A bit of pressure adds to it, so
Pressure really helps it. Mark, I suppose a bit of pressure is always good to have, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, I suppose, but the boys didn't show too much of it on the day anyway, so they were, Oliver and these fellas are fairly cool and calm. They don't get excited too often. I suppose that's what makes them as well. So even Oliver stood up and made a speech as chairman, I suppose, of Over Nostrand's Tax Park, which is standing in front of the president making a speech, and he had no problem at it. So no, they were great, to be fair. Yeah.
Let's go back to the match. Come on, we'll talk about football now, Keane, will we? Level at half time, and then you kind of pulled away a small bit. What made the difference?
Jeez, I don't know. I'd say the Green are probably a bit tired after they had two games extra time for us, and we had a bye in one game in the group, which probably helped us a lot. And sure, Dara here, he made it fairly easy with his accuracy and goals.
You played a few times before in Austin Sack Park, I presume, have you?
Yeah, I've once or twice, right, yeah.
Yeah. What's it like when you're playing in a county final? Obviously, this is a county, but this was a national final, actually. It was even bigger than the county final. Is it just another game, Dara, or you know, is there something in the background saying, God, you know, this is huge now, this is big for the school and the whole lot, or are you just saying, I'll try and win my next ball and tap it over the bar?
Sure. I suppose you need to take every game as it comes, like, not to be too into it. The team was looking forward to it for a while anyway, the competition, so we were well prepared for all the situations.
Mm-hmm. Nine aside, as we mentioned earlier, different start of a game. Did you kind of train for that as well? Are you doing 15 aside games, or are you just doing nine aside? Were you practicing? Don't give away too many secrets, if you don't have to live. But I mean, obviously, you can't just go into a competition like that unprepared.
We did just a small bit in training, you're right. We were kind of preparing it just a few weeks before it. I suppose we had the Russell Cup and we had the Munster thing before that, so our main focus was that, but we did a small bit before it.
Mm-hmm. How's the season going, Keane?
Yeah, great so far, yeah. Yeah, we had the Russell Cup coming up, we won the TAF Cup there, so yeah, couldn't
ask for more. Yeah. And the club going well too, isn't it?
Not too bad, yeah.
Struggling along.
Or tipping away, I suppose.
What club are you? Better tell the whole place what club you're in.
We're both Kilcommon, yeah.
Yeah, both Kilcommon. That's fairly unusual to come out the same. I'd imagine if you brought him in before, I said, are two Crokes fellas, or maybe a Crokes and a Legion fella, or whatever, but both Kilcommon.
Yep.
Yeah, God, the pressure's going to be on you now for the rest of the days. What's the next project?
I don't know, I suppose, selecting the team in the tournament and stuff in the Magic Moments.
My God, how much the Magic Moments? Oh, explain the Magic Moments to me.
Yeah, so that's a thing sponsored by McKeever Sport. So we have, it's basically like a couple of stuff. It's best goal, best point, I think, best pass and stuff like that. So we've kind of, the pitch coordinators like Bobby and Mr. Sheehan and them, and they're kind of, they were basically looking at the games and they were saying, oh, if one of the players, if one of the lads put off a great goal or got a great point, they'd put it up and say, X, Y, and Z got a great goal or a great point, and they'd put kind of, and then we'll, when you come back to school tomorrow and Wednesday now, we'll be kind of saying, we'll kind of be all having to make our case for who you reckon deserves each of them. And then once you kind of have our list for that made out, we'll be sending out the McKeever sponsored a pack. I think it's a football and a pair of gloves, if I'm not mistaken. So okay, we're sending it out to them after that then.
Very nice. Bobby, what's a great goal, Bobby?
Jeez, we can't be giving too much away now before the reveal, but there was a good few ones there.
Fair play. You'd make a great centre-back, actually, I'd say. Nobody get past you. Come here, did you see a few great goals scored on you, Keane?
Yeah, there was one or two. Yeah, there was going, I guess, the Mount Hawk game. There was a good goal in that one. Yeah, a lot of points. There was a few goals. We had a few. Yeah, there was a good few.
It's funny you mentioned points, because when we were chatting to the lads last week, we were saying it was the kind of thing that was set up to score goals and score goals. But there was a lot of points scored.
A lot of points, yeah. The Church Tournament, there's a lot of points. In the final, there's a lot of goals then, so it changes. It varies, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you're finally picked out of the whole amount of players, Dara Keane, and said the player of the tournament is, you're kind of like, oh God, I don't need this glare and light and the whole lot, or you're kind of like, oh yeah, that was me, definitely.
I know. It was nice to get, but sure, I couldn't have done it without.
Did you get loads of slagging? Come on. You went back down to the Sim gang and they said, oh my God, player of the tournament.
And he's underage again for next year, Donal.
Oh, Jesus, he go, I have to defend it next year, will he?
Yeah.
It'll be fresh on you next year. But no, but seriously, I mean, it's a great achievement to get it so young, obviously, in a national tournament. Your parents kind of delighted, were they?
Yeah, they were happy enough with it, right? Yeah.
I bet you they took a few photographs, did they?
One or two at home, right, for sure.
They're mad photographing people, aren't they?
No, I wouldn't say that now about my father.
No, that's for sure. Yeah, he hardly knows where his phone is, never mind where the camera is. Keane, very quickly, you have one cup game to come, have you?
Cup game coming up in 2 weeks, I think, from now, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Frawley, I suppose you won't be wishing him that much luck until after the game, will you?
Once the normal services resume now after the Super Lines.
Battle lines drawn again. Quick on Clare yesterday, 30 seconds. Were you happy with them?
Yeah, it was good. Good atmosphere up in Cusick Park yesterday. Obviously, the class of Kerry shone throughout, but they stopped the goals unlike last year. But the Kerry forwards were well able to pick off their points from afar, and some nice points there from Paddy and Tony Brosnan as well, like, so
absolutely three more from Tony Brosnan
onto the next round now, so see where we end up.
Sure, you're playing Cork now. I said everybody will support you in that one.
Hopefully you're all behind us.
Good stuff. Listen guys, thanks very much. We'll do it all again next year, will we? Fingers crossed. We won't have Bobby and we won't have Crossa.
No.
And we won't be talking about Oliver, but we'll have all the rest of you, and we could have Derek Keane back. Are you overage for next year? Yeah. So we won't have Keane. Okay. Well, sure, one from one, Keane. You can't do much better than that, huh?
No.
Absolutely, fair play. And Mark and Martin as well, thanks very much. And thanks to James McCarthy and Rich Dard. And of course, a big thank you as well to our two boys, Liam and John Kennedy, at the start. Up next is Tobe Suss. A big thank you to Keane as well, who was on production and on sound and lights and welcoming people and answering doors and the whole lot. A fantastic job. And we will do it all again next week. I won't be here next week. I'm on my holidays. And I think Ivan's here next week and he'll go horse racing. It's all about the Clonie races next week. We'll talk then.
Hi, folks.